All right, well, I'd like to greet each one of you in Jesus' name. And speaking of names, I think I'm going to do something a little different. I'm looking at out across here, and I think most of you I know, maybe not quite all of you, but I consider you guys to be my friends. And so that's what I keep trying to tell myself so I don't get so nervous. Because when I'm talking one-on-one to a friend, I'm not nervous, but when you get up here, it kind of changes perspective. But I think on the count of three, when I say three, everybody just holler out their name. So one, two, three. All right. I was going to title my message, What's in a Name? But then I found out that's part of kind of a romance thing that from Romeo and Juliet that Shakespeare came up with. So I decided to call it Power in a Name. I think that kind of goes along a little better with what I've come up with. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about just having a name. You know, sometimes it would be rather difficult to talk to somebody without knowing their name or to even say their name. Or if you think about it, they wouldn't even know you're talking to them if you didn't say their name. So what does your name mean? Do any of you know the meaning of your names? How many do? One, two, three. Yeah, quite a few. All right. One thing I did was look up just a few of y'all's names, and I thought it was rather interesting. Dylan, where is he? Yeah, right there. Your name means son of the sea, so I'm wondering if you'll become a sea captain or something someday. Do you like fishing? No. Okay, well, you got the wrong name then. Maybe you need to change it. And I did look up Ansley, and that means my meadow. So I'm pretty sure she likes flowers. So maybe you're your mom and dad's flower. One thing I saw interesting was Tyler's name. I don't think he's here this morning, but I didn't think about it, but it makes sense. After I looked it up, it means tile maker. So that fits him to a T, no pun intended. But Curtis means courteous, and that fits him. Alyssa is rational, and I think that's pretty fitting too. But it's funny, some of our names really don't mean a whole lot to us, I guess. Poor Cameron, we named him Crooked Nose, so I don't know if somebody wants to help him out with that or not, but and then some of us have to end up fitting into our name, because my name means bald, so I'm getting there, but not quite at that point yet. But and then as I was thinking about names, there's also names for something that you do, maybe a reputation that you have, or an identification that you have. And I was thinking kind of through a list of some of the jobs different people have, and some of the names that stood out to me, like one of the things was baker. What name do you think of when I say baker? I think of Sally. I don't know either her or mom. But that's one of the ways that people identify you, is things that you do, or just a reputation that you build. What about builder? I think of Dale right away. Septic systems. That's Brian. He takes care of that. Storage barn haulers. I think of Harley and Curtis right away. A plumber, Jonas. Garage doors, I think of Jesse. A mechanic, that's Atlee. And then flooring, you got Tyler, but Scott and Cameron and several others. So It's kind of interesting when you think about names, you know, what comes to mind and how it connects you with something. And the biggest name I want to talk about, of course, is the name of Jesus. I'd like to read a little section here that I found. It's actually out of Our Daily Bread. It's called What's in a Name? What's in a name? Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet made this question famous. They fall in love before learning they bear the names of rival families. Romeo is a Montague, I don't know if I'm saying these right, and Juliet a Capulet. So I can just imagine Juliet Capulet. Willing to deny name before love, Juliet cries out, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name, or if thou wilt not, be but sworn, my love, and I'll no longer be a Capulet. A few lines later, Juliet asks, What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. In other settings, the family name becomes even more important. As a young boy, I watched my father endure the pain of a failed business that left my parents deeply in debt. Rather than declare bankruptcy, he went to each of his creditors and told them he would fully pay them back if it took the rest of his life. On his handshake and his name, each creditor took him at his word. He kept his promise, furthering his credibility and example of integrity in the business community. The significance of a name was particularly true in Bible times. In both Old and New Testaments, names reflected personal experience or expressed character. And here's a few names they pulled out of the Bible. One was from Genesis 25:26. Jacob, which means supplanter, was so named because he would overtake his brother Esau in position and significance. This became reality as Jacob stole both the blessing and the birthright from his firstborn brother. Another one is Naomi in Ruth 1:20. The name Naomi means delightful one. Upon her return from the land of Moab, however, she changed her name to Mara, meaning bitter. Why? Because in Moab, she had suffered the bitter loss of a husband, two sons, and a daughter-in-law. Another one is Barnabas, Acts 4:36. In the New Testament, we find a man named Joseph who was so active in caring for people and encouraging others that he received a new name, a nickname. That name was Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. While names were important to the people of the Bible, nowhere was this more significant than in Matthew 1:21, where we read the words spoken to Joseph. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Jehovah, our Savior. It is the New Testament equivalent of the Hebrew name Joshua, Yeshua, or Hosea. While others wore these names to honor God, Jesus bore his name as the Savior God that the New Testament says he was. It's important for us to see that the scriptures honor the name Jesus for several reasons. So I'd like to look a little bit through scripture here. I'm going to be jumping around. You're welcome to try to keep up. And I'm actually going to have to turn to it, so you'll probably be able to keep up. But the first one I'd like to look at is Matthew 21:11. And these first few verses that I'm looking at are talking about Jesus of Nazareth. That was one thing I noticed about that. Sometimes there was more than one person named the same name, just like we have today. But instead of maybe using, I know like in the Amish or Mennonite communities, they use their dad's name a lot. So we got Jacob's Checky and all that stuff. But they used the city that they came from. So these few verses here talk about Jesus of Nazareth. Matthew 21:11 says, The crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And then Mark 1:24. It says, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And this is where one of the men there had an impure spirit. So it would have been a demon or an evil spirit. And even he knew who Christ was. Luke 18:37. It says, "They told him, 'Jesus of Nazareth is passing by.'" Here they were talking to the blind beggar and letting him know who this Jesus was. And they referred to him there again as Jesus of Nazareth. And then John 1:45. It says, "Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" So there they used both, from where he was from and his father, or his earthly father, I should say. And then John 19:19. It says, "Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.'" So this is when Christ was being crucified, and he was known as Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Then one more, Acts 2:22. "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." So here they spoke of this Jesus of Nazareth, but he was also known as doing miracles and signs and wonders. So as we look at that, we notice that he not only had a name for himself because of his name, but because of the things he did and doing the signs and wonders. Then John 14:13-14, I'm going to turn back to that. It says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." So we see there that he is the Son of God, and that we can ask things in his name. And I think, you know, with the right attitude, we can't just be selfish about things, but yeah, he wants us to ask in his name. So names are important, as we see here. Also in chapter 15, verse 16 of John, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." All right, so that shows some of the things that people were calling him, or they saw this Jesus of Nazareth as. Also, I want to go through and look at what Scripture calls him. In John 20:31, I'll turn to that here. Says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So the word that, or the name that stood out to me on that is life. Jesus is life. And then Acts 4, 11 through 12. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There we see, I see two names there, cornerstone and savior, basically, or salvation. And then also, along with that, Matthew 1:21. Turn to that real quick. Matthew 1:21 says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So along with the salvation part, he is the savior of sinners. And then Luke 1, 31 and 32. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. So in that one, I see Most High. This person called Jesus is considered the Most High, which is what I kind of stood out to me, the name above all names. Then in Philippians 2, 6 through 8. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. So there we see he came, actually says he made himself nothing, but he also became a servant to you and me. And that's what we are supposed to follow. Also, Galatians 4, 4 through 5. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. So the thing I see there is him being a redeemer. That's another name that God gave Jesus. And then along with that, he's also the Son of God, which it shows there. Along with that is John 3:17. Which says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And that's right after, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So we see there he is the Son of God. Then also in John 14:6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And then also, I'm just going to, for time's sake, I'm going to skip through some of these, but I'll tell you the scriptures. Another name was Lord, and that's in Acts 2:21 and Joel 2:32. And then also wonderful, I thought of that as we were singing that last song before before Sunday school, or before devotions, I think it was. His name is Wonderful. And we think of that a lot of times throughout Christmas. Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace. Also, Sanctifier and Justifier. That would be in 1 Corinthians 6:11. Forgiveness, 1 John 2:12, Acts 10:43 and 22 and 16. And then above all names, Philippians 2:9 through 11. All right, so there we see several, or quite a few names, but we haven't hardly even touched how many names that we've seen of Jesus throughout Scripture. You could go for quite a while with all the different names of Christ. I'd like to read another something that I found here. Over the past 2,000 years, more people on planet Earth have known the name of Jesus than any other name. Since AD 33, over 8 billion people, by one estimate, have claimed to be followers of this Jesus, or Jesus, or Isus, or whatever the Christ is called in your language. Billions more have heard his name. Today, the name of Jesus can be found in more than 6,000 languages, and more are being added every year. On the one hand, it's strange that this single name has dominated the past 2,000 years of world history, especially Western history. For most of us, the name Jesus has a sacred ring to it. It sounds holy and divine. But this wasn't the case when Mary and Joseph followed the angel's instructions and gave their baby his name. Granted, it had a special meaning, but it was not an unusual name. The first century Jewish historian Josephus mentions at least 12 different people he knew with the name Jesus, including four high priests. In Acts 9, we read of the Jewish false prophet Bar-Jesus. In Colossians 4, Paul mentions one of his fellow workers, Jesus called Justice. And some ancient manuscripts of the Gospel of Matthew refer to the robber released by Pilate as Jesus Barabbas, which can be translated, ironically enough, Jesus, Son of the Father. Jesus was a common name, like Jim, John, or Jerry. When Mary and Joseph called their son Jesus, there were no prayers in his name. No one used it as a swear word. No one sang songs about his name, just as there is no religion I am aware of that sings songs to Jim. We don't name our sons John with the expectation that 8 billion people will pray in that name over the next 2,000 years. We don't croon Jerry, Jerry, Jerry. There's just something about that name. But common as the name was, Jesus was named Jesus by design. In Greek, it is Lysos. In Aramaic, the language Jesus spoke, Yesu. Both are derived from the Hebrew, in which the name is Yeshua or Joshua. Joshua is made up of two parts, Yah, which is short for Yahweh, and Hosea, which means salvation. Hence, Mary and Joseph gave their little baby, Jesus, the name Yahweh Saves. I thought that was pretty interesting to think about that there was more than one Jesus back then. But the biggest thing I'd like to point out in the last part here is I don't know that there was any called Jesus Christ. And that's the biggest thing I want to point out and remind us, that there is power in that name, Jesus Christ, because he is the Christ. He is the Son of God. And thinking of the name Christ, I know from little up I've learned that the name Christian means little Christ or Christ followers. And I was thinking about that. Without that name Christ, we don't have the name Christians. And so if you think about it, that name really holds us together as Christians and holds us together as a church and as a body, or at least it should. Sometimes it seems like things are falling apart, but if we truly, honestly follow what Jesus Christ has shown us, we will be together as a body of believers. And as I was thinking about that yesterday, I noticed Carolyn out there hanging up clothes, and if any of you were around here, you'd know that it was pretty windy yesterday. So I was looking, and I noticed she put an extra clothespin on the pairs of pants, and I don't know that any fell down, right? So I was thinking about that. Typically we put so many clothespins on, and it still holds them from falling off to the ground. But yet, even with wind or storms or whatever, adding another clothespin, a community of clothespins, keeps those pants on the line. And I was kind of thinking about that as Christ holding us together, keeping us from falling when things get rough, keeping us from going astray. And it just gave me a reassurance that we do hold a powerful name if we cling to Christ. Another little parallel that probably won't make much sense to y'all, but I work with trusses, and I was thinking about this, that these trusses are designed with a web patterns, and they're all engineered just right to hold certain loads. But without the things that hold them together, they wouldn't do anything. And I don't know if you've seen trusses before, but when you plate them together, they have little plates that hold three or four joints together, and it's all done with little tiny teeth that stick in each side. And I've heard them, I don't know if it's a technical name or not, but I've heard them called gang plates, and they all work together, and they're put on each side of the truss to hold those joints together to create this one big unit that can carry a big load. I was thinking of that as the church. If we work together as a gang, as a family, then we can carry the load that Christ has given us, and not just by ourselves. And I think that's a good reminder that we are not alone in this journey we call life. And I can't imagine going throughout life without having Christ to hold us together, to knit us together. All right, in this last closing section, I'd like to read another little piece here I found. But let's be clear, the name of Jesus is not a magic wand. Chanting it does not give one spiritual powers. The power in the name is the person behind the name. In biblical times, names meant something. They were more than badges of identification. They often told others who you were and what purpose God had for your life. Thus, Adam was the first man. Eve was the mother of all living things. Abraham was the father of many nations. Benjamin was the son of his father's right hand. Moses was drawn out of the water. Peter was the rock. Barnabas was the son of encouragement. What about Jesus? And you shall call his name Jesus, the angel told Joseph, for he will save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. More than a great teacher, more than an enlightened man, more than a worker of miracles, more than a source of meaning in life, more than a self-help guru, more than a self-esteem builder, more than a political liberator, more than a caring friend, more than a transformer of cultures, more than a purpose for the purposeless, Jesus is the Savior of sinners. Jesus, the name that charms our fears and bids our sorrows cease, 'tis music for the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. That'll sing. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. That'll work too. I guess there really is something about that name. No, not just something, make that everything. And I just wanted to remind us of the power we have in the name of Jesus, not because of the name, but because of the person behind that name. And that's all I have. Brian, did you have a closing song? 163 in the Faith and Praise, and you can stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for sending your only Son to earth to take our place on the cross and to create a way of salvation for each one of us as sinners in need of a Savior. I just thank you for loving us the way you do and for being that name that holds us together. And God, I just thank you so much for this reminder of your Son and what he means to each one of us. God, I thank you for each one here. I pray that you would guide each one of us throughout our week. And as we come in contact with others, that help us to be open to sharing your love to them through your Son. And I pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.